Yes, Lord. Sometimes life can be so hard and unforgiving, Lord. Lord, thank you that you are always loving and that you are forgiving. It's to you that we come this morning, Lord, to be strengthened. It's to you that we come this morning for direction, for purpose, for healing, for reconciliation. Lord, come and have your way in us. Lord, give us the grace to lay down every hindrance, everything in us that exalts itself against you, Lord. We want to be known as followers of Jesus Christ. Not just ones who pay him lip service, but true followers. Yes, Lord, we bless you, Lord. You're the only one who is good. We praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Shofar Band. Thank you to everyone in the back rows. And Marcus in the front. There's only one front row, the rest are back rows. But Jesus loves everyone. Praise the Lord. See, if I move forward like some preachers do, then I'll be turning my back on Marcus. I don't want to do that. So he's a big man and he's been known to tackle people, so this morning we're talking about change. We're continuing and it's the final Sunday in our growth month. This month we've been speaking all about what does it mean to grow? What does it mean to grow spiritually? What does it mean to grow in the Lord? And we've had some very encouraging messages from our elders. And I've challenged myself as well in this month. And this morning... And tonight then, we've got an evening service tonight. Don't forget, Brett will be ministering tonight, so you're welcome to join us for that at 6. This morning we're talking about change. Now change is not something that is easy for most of us. In fact, people are averse to change. Averse, you know what that word means? It means they resist it, they don't want to do it. It's something that we learned in economics. In my management accounting degree, so it's helped me with at least one thing there in my preaching, a verse, so now I can tell you about that. Okay, but the Lord redeems everything in our lives, so praise God for that. People are averse to change. They say some of the most stressful things in life, you know, that those are things that would involve change, like moving. Moving house, moving to a different city or town, changing jobs. When your circumstances change, maybe, you know, with your consent or choice involved, or otherwise, circumstance beyond your control that changes. These are stressful things. They do say changing address, moving is one of the most stressful things. Another one is building, if you maybe renovating your house or you're building a house. This is also something that's very stressful. You know, when the course of your life changes direction very suddenly, change, stress. Now, you know that when we, just before we got asked to move to Francia, got asked to pray about it, and the Lord said yes. But we had just moved to a new house in Blouberg, and we had just settled. We were there for 2 weeks when the Lord said, "Now, okay, Francia." So this was a very difficult thing, particularly for my wife. I think women have this sort of inclination to nest, you know, skropi nest, maki eis moi. You know, make sure everyone's settled and everything, and telling the husband where to pin up the, you know, put up the pictures and all of these kind of things. We actually settled very quickly. We were so excited to be there. It was a blessing, and it still is a blessing, but we had no idea what was coming, you know, when we moved in there, and we were there for 2 weeks. So your future plans, you know, everything is heading in one direction, and then suddenly a change of direction that was quite unforeseen, particularly now for my wife. So I can really appreciate, you know, the stress that she went through, you know, with this whole sudden change of direction. Of course, you would not want to ask her now to move from Franschhoek, because she's very settled and happy here. But, you know, it's something that's always at the back of one's head, is that one must be prepared to do anything for the Lord. One must be prepared for change, because that is the one thing that's here to stay, is change. Change, a stressful thing. The first section, the title I've got there is Comfort Zone Killer. Comfort Zone Killer. Now, we have this natural inclination to want to find a comfortable place and kind of set up camp there. I don't know if you've ever camped in an uncomfortable place and you want to move there. Maybe the ablution blocks weren't to your liking, or there was no running water or something, but you'll do anything just to get out of there, and your wife will flash before you some pictures of some hotels or something, and, you know, try and tempt you away. Now, we should be camping sometime in September, and it's going to be Charlene's first experience of camping, so I'm really praying. you know, I know the kids will love it, but the question is always, if the missus will follow suit. So we shall be camping, but you like to camp in a comfortable place. People like to you know, set up and settle down in a comfortable place. Jesus puts out a challenge here to a young man in Matthew 19. Read from verse 16. Behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This month we're talking about growing, talking about becoming more like Jesus Christ, because that is a common purpose that we all share. Read about that in Romans 8. We'll look at that portion just now. But this implies that we're going to have to do some things differently. It implies that we're going to have to lay some things down that we are currently doing. If you want something that you've never had before, this was my first pastor. He used to say this often: if you want something that you've never had before, you've got to do something that you've never done before. Okay, we need to be willing to change. And we've got to resist this inclination, this tendency to want to set up camp in a comfortable place. Comfortable in terms of how we handle certain relationships. You know, I'm going to do this my way, regardless of the fact whether it's biblical or not. I'm comfortable with this scenario. I'm comfortable with handling my finances in this way. I'm comfortable doing this or that. I'm comfortable serving in this capacity. That is uncomfortable, so I'm going to steer clear of that. When we talk about comfort, we're mostly talking about our will, our desire. And we need to ask ourselves, Lord, what is your will? Even if that means discomfort. Unfortunately, frequently it does involve discomfort. That is not meant to steal your joy by any means, but it's there to help facilitate growth. Discomfort is not a bad place to be. We've heard it said a number of times this month, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. And this is true. I find myself in an uncomfortable position at the moment. I've got to undergo surgery on my right shoulder in the next week or so, having torn all the ligaments holding the bones together up there. And it's not something I planned for. It's not something I wanted to happen. And it's kind of limiting in what you can do. But I'm asking God, and I know that there's something that God will teach me through it. And for all those that have volunteered, God is telling you not to play rugby. I don't think that is what God is saying. So, yes, it's something that I'm talking to God about. Not a lot, because it's one of those things. But I find myself in an uncomfortable position, something I haven't planned for. It involves change. There's a level of stress involved. There was certainly stress placed on my shoulder a few weeks ago, and it didn't handle the stress. But God is really good. He stays good, and He's got a plan and a purpose behind all this. We mustn't give up at the first obstacle, first sign of resistance. The word says that we must submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. In our life, resistance is guaranteed, because the devil is a given. There are parts of the church and, you know, that proclaim that there is no devil, that there is no hell. Now, that's dangerous doctrine, because I think that's a very slippery slope, and then you're no longer part of the real Church of Jesus Christ, because it's all over the Bible. So what are we reading? You know, what are we growing in? But the point is, we have an adversary. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be a battle and a fight when it comes to your spiritual growth. Okay, so we need to persevere. We must not give up when the going gets tough or when it gets uncomfortable. We need to push through and say, Lord, if you told me to do this, I will go through with it. It was not a comfortable change at the time coming to Franschhoek. It's not comfortable when you hurt yourself doing something that you feel God wants you to do. But do we give up at the first sign of resistance, or the second or third for that matter? Now we've got to push through. The word says, let your yes be yes. We've got to be people of integrity and character. We've got to do what we said we're going to do. We've got to follow through. That is someone that God can work with. Someone that's prepared to go through the tough times, the uncomfortable situations. Someone that's prepared to drop everything and move when God says move. Jesus is moving. He says, follow me. You do not know exactly where he's going to take you next. But are you prepared to drop everything for him? This young man that came up to Jesus was a huge challenge for him. Jesus knows what the obstacles are, the hindrances are in our life, preventing us from growing spiritually. And if we're honest and open with him and we ask him, he will challenge us in those areas. Not saying it's wrong to have riches, but riches were preventing this man from following Jesus. What is hindering you from following Jesus fully? Are you prepared to drop everything if he had to ask you? Would you go to a different place? Would you take something up if he asked you to do that? Would you drop something if he asked you to do that? easy. There's two of us in this relationship. We have the next slide up. God is perfect. We are not, so we have to change. Change is an implied prerequisite in the kingdom. Matthew 16:24, anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay, that implies movement, that implies change. Change of scenery, change of behavior, change of purpose, change of direction, a change of heart. Lord, your will be done. I deny myself. There's an exchange that happens there. Lord, not my will, but your will. Change is implied in the kingdom. Okay, sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. So the next slide there. It's not God that changes. We must change. James 1 verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is what makes our relationship with God so unique and so awesome. He's got no hidden agenda. And he doesn't change. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know what the overall purpose is. We know what the goal is at the end of the day. And we know how this world is going to end. It is all there in his word. We know he's in control, and we know he's always with us, and we know he loves us, and that will never change. So we can trust him when he asks us to change. He knows what is best. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows when he's asking you to lay this thing down, that it's going to be to your best interest. We can trust him. God doesn't change. Praise God for that. But we must. Look at Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So the goal for us is to become like Jesus Christ. So we can never say, I've arrived. None of us are exactly like Jesus. There's always something or an area that we ought to grow in. As I said, we're going to have to resist the desire to set up camp in a comfortable place. Because more often than not, that means no change. Where we continuously asking God, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to grow in? And you know what? Most of these changes that we have to undergo take some time. We just mustn't stop cooperating with God. We need to just be there for him to work in us. We need to be open to that. So the next section is just to be willing to change. Make yourself available for God to work in you. And Paul says this in Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Make yourself available for God to work in you, for God to use you, for God to direct you. This inherently implies change is going to come. Change is going to happen. God is going to be moving inside of you and through you and moving you around. Are you willing? Are you willing? It's a challenge. Because because we've got our own minds and we've got our own will. We've got our own ideas of what we could be doing, of what would be nice. We get bombarded with media and advertising of a lot of things that are comforting and comfortable, a lot of nice things. Sometimes those things can be a stumbling block or a hindrance to us growing in the Lord or us changing to become more like Him. So we need to constantly be on guard, constantly be watchful and prayerful in terms of where am I now and where does God want to take me? Is God the leader in your life? The job of a leader is to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. God is our ultimate leader. Is He helping direct us? Or are we leading ourselves? God is with you. Are you letting Him walk in front? Are you saying, Lord, buckle up, I've got this under control? Be willing to change. Now, Paul could write this, but he also writes in Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, we know the Pauline letters and everything that he went through. So he could speak with authority on the subject. He was willing for God to use him, for God to move him, for God to work in him and to change him. He was aware of his challenges and his shortcomings. And he teaches us valuable lessons. He was willing for God to work in his life. The good news, there's always good news. It's all good news, but here's the better news. Next slide, the Lord is the one that changes us. He will help us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God is fully committed to us. We are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus is the symbol of our covenant and the means by which our sins can be forgiven. We are in covenant with God. That's a never-ending, an infinite, eternal promise and relationship that we have with God. And there's certain promises that have been made pertaining to our salvation, which is a process which culminates in glory and us being exactly like Jesus Christ when we receive our resurrected bodies. And we cannot make that happen. But the promise is there. That is going to be the result of this covenant. So who's going to do it? God is going to do it. Body, soul, and spirit, we need change. God is going to do it, all of it, the full package. The only thing we have to do is agree to it. Sign on the dotted line, make yourself available, be willing. Stay in relationship with Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Don't let go of Him. Each one of us needs to grow. Each one of us needs change. We need Jesus to do a work in us, a lot of works in us. But there's something that He wants to do right now. Matthew 19, verse 23 to 26. Okay, so this is continuing from the question of that young man. So this Jesus' disciples were there, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. You cannot change yourself. Not in any significant way pertaining to the kingdom. That's only God's work. None of us can take glory in, "I gave up drinking, I gave up smoking, I gave up sleeping around." None of us can take glory in these things. That's God that worked in us. All we can say is, Jesus loves me and I'm holding on to him. That's the best I can do. He's the one that's at work in us. God is so good. Interestingly, the eye of the needle at the entrance gates in Jerusalem, there's big gates where the travelers would come in. And camels were known as the caravans of the desert, or pack mules. They were laden with lots of goods sort of all around them, I think, except just for a small part under their belly. But they were packed to the rafters, like some of these overladen trucks that you would see pictures of on the internet or something. It's like massively laden camels. Now, they would have to open these gates, but then there was a smaller gate inside the big gates, like a little door. So that if a person is coming, they don't have to open the massive gates. They can just open kind of the door that's built into the gate, and the person can walk through the door. Now, that little door was also referred to as the eye of the needle. Now, if a camel were to squeeze through there, it'd be pretty hard, and he certainly wouldn't be able to go through there with all the goods packed on his back. They'd have to unpack everything and kind of squeeze him through. Just teaching us again, you know, nothing that we gather or accumulate in this life can we take with us in eternity. Even then, riches were a stumbling block for people, and today even more so. God and mammon is a huge stumbling block. It's a poor master. It's a good servant. We need to have a right relationship when it comes to our material possessions, our money. But whatever your stumbling block, bring it before the Lord. Allow him to work in you. Allow him to change your heart. It will be so much easier to let go and to trust him. We might have various hindrances and stumbling blocks present here amongst us this morning. And I'd like us to pray together and just ask God to help us in this process. If we can come to a place where we are willing, where we can recognize that, God, I'm not yet the finished product. I must change. I want to change. Please help me change. I want to grow, to become more like you. That will be my lifelong pursuit. It's not a place of striving. It's a place of allowing God to work in you. See, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 just reiterates the fact that we don't have a clear picture of where we're on our way to, but if we would allow God to lead us, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. you would just trust Him. Amazing what God has in store for you. I don't know what God has in store for you, neither do you, but will you trust Him? He wants to do it in you. He wants to take you to that place. He wants to change you in that way. You don't even know how, but will you trust Him? He's so good. He works so patiently with us, one step at a time. Sometimes He's working in you. You might have an inkling of where He's on His way to with you. Certainly, by no means the colored in picture or anything like that, but you've got an inkling it's in this direction. You know, God has already made certain promises to you. And right now, God is asking you to do this thing, but the two just don't seem to match. They don't seem to line up. You don't understand, how will obeying this instruction help me to get there where God has promised me years ago? How will it help me? How do the two line up? But trust Him. We don't want to be those that circle in the desert year after year, trying to make our own way, but to allow God, to trust Him. Remember, our God operates supernaturally. That means it's beyond your ability to imagine what God wants to do in your life every step of the way. Allow Him to be God. Don't limit Him by your understanding. God, I've got this challenge in my life right now, so I think only step 1, 2, and 3 is going to fix it. Let God be God. Let Him do the impossible. As we read there in Matthew 19, let Him be who He says He is in your life, because you can limit Him by your unbelief, by your lack of trust. So I plead with you to trust God, whatever He's asking you to lay down, whatever challenge He's put before you, to run at it. Trust Him and just go for it. Can we pray together? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this morning we just want to humble ourselves before You, Lord. And Father, there's so much in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, that are not aligned to Your word, to Your will, to who You are. We know this morning, Lord, that You've called us to be like You. Lord, for us this is truly impossible. But for You, Lord, nothing is. Nothing is impossible. And You have said it, so we believe it. And that settles it. Lord, we bring ourselves before You this morning. Lord, we know that You've been speaking to us. Even over the course of this month, You've been challenging us, Lord God, to move, not to be satisfied with where we are at in our relationship with You, in our maturity in Christ. But You've challenged us to trust You and to move, to follow You, to grow, to change. Lord, You're asking some people here this morning even to do some tough things, Lord. To lay down some things. to take up some challenges, Lord, and they don't quite know how they're going to do it. But Lord, you're imploring them this morning to trust in you, to hold fast onto you, and to follow you. There's nowhere we can go where you are not there. There's nowhere we can go that is too hard for you. I pray, Lord, that you'll infuse us this morning with hope and with faith. You are, Lord, who you said you are. And you will do, Lord, what you said you will do. Because you are immutable, Lord. You do not change. Right where you are, just speak to the Lord in your heart. And if you know you must change, maybe you know specific areas that you must change in. Maybe you find yourself in some cycle of iniquity or sin or some addiction. Maybe a health issue, maybe a relational challenge. Just right where you are, just bring it before the Lord. Inquire of Him. I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to you and show you the cooperation that He wants from you, what He wants you to do. And that's in spite of the fact that we are weak. He will give you the strength to do it. So don't be scared to ask God. And don't be scared to take that first step. The Lord will give you the strength. So let's just be quiet for a few moments and just each one do business with God and ask Him the simple question, Lord, what do you want to change in me? Let's just remain in prayer, and no one's looking around. If God is asking you to change something, just put up your hand. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the ones that you are speaking to this morning. Thank you, Lord, for grace for them, Lord, to follow you, Lord, into the unknown. Thank you, Lord, for grace for change, for grace for growth, for grace to become more like you. Lord, you say we have not because we ask not. I thank you for those this morning that have asked for you to help them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them and that you'll grant them the desire of their heart that is to become more like you. I just bless each one here under the sound of my voice, and I thank you, God, for your unconditional love for each of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your love towards us never ends, never reaches exhaustion.
never grows cold. Thank you, Lord, that you're passionate about us. And you've got a definitive plan for our lives. And it includes such awesome things, Lord God. And Lord, I'm talking about eternal life here, Lord. We can't even imagine, Lord, what it's going to be like to be with you one day in eternity. But thank you that you're faithful to get us there. Let us never stop believing. Let us never stop following you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.